This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:06, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott, alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Uncle Ralph, how are you today?
All I can say today is gobble, gobble, gobble.
You know what today is, actually? I'm not. We're going to talk about a Turkey Day dinner momentarily. Today is the largest pizza ordering day of the year.
Well, I'll be having pizza tonight.
Set records, and
you would think with the Super Bowl and everything, the day before Thanksgiving.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
and then Friday will be the largest shopping day. So we've got all kinds of things going on here, and a lot of people can't wait. They're going
Saturday
to
will
do
be
it
the largest Alka-Seltzer day of the year.
Oh. Yes. Yeah, Tums.
It just works out one after the other. We have a couple good guests here this week. Pastor Matt Ferguson from the First Presbyterian Church of Pillsboro and Al Lemmy are our guests. We're here to talk about the annual Thanksgiving Day dinner at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Taylor Springs, and that conversation begins right after this.
At Plummer Funeral Home, we know firsthand just how difficult the passing of a beloved family member can be. Losing a loved one is never easy, but there is a simple way to lift some of the burdens from your family. Come by Plummer Funeral Home and we'll help you make your final arrangements in advance. We'll record your choices and help you plan a personalized service that will reflect your individual wishes and beliefs. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday Talk Show, Tobin Ott, alongside with everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Our guest this week is Pastor Matt Ferguson and Al Lemmy. We're here to talk about the Community Thanksgiving Day dinner that will be held tomorrow at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Taylor Springs. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
Good to be here.
And we are here to talk about the Thanksgiving Day dinner, and Al, grab the mic. There you go. Pastor Matt, tell us a little bit about this Thanksgiving Day dinner, because this has been a tradition, especially in the Hillsboro area, for many years, and it's grown leaps and bounds year after year.
Yeah, it's over 15 years now. I should look it up, because I know we're beyond 15 years of having done this, and it really has grown a lot. We used to be able to hold it in different church basements, fellowship halls, and that worked fine. But then we finally outgrew that, and the Knights of Columbus have been extremely generous in allowing us to hold this community Thanksgiving meal there at the Knights for many years now. I don't know how many years we've been out there, but probably the year after it opened, we started holding it out there to be able to host the number that we have. And Al, how many was the number last year?
629 people served last year, which was a record.
Yeah,
unreal.
It was a big record, yeah. And it was nip and tuck there. We didn't have Jesus doing the fishes and loaves for us, but we did have Jesus doing the turkey and dressing.
Yeah, and we came within just a handful of turkey left over, and that was it.
And that this event, it's got to be, you mentioned nip and tuck with the amount of food. It's kind of hard to prepare for something like this because you don't know how many people are actually going to show up.
What we do is we gear up for X amount of people. Like this year, we're kind of looking at 700. And the local churches donate the food, and we kind of guesstimate what everybody's going to need to bring.
And you have, you talk about local churches donating your food, and then to take that one step farther, you have several people involved in the preparation of this food. I believe probably the biggest thing, IGA does the turkeys for you, do they not?
Yes, and not only just they cook them, but they take it off the bone. And because I can remember when we first had them doing the turkeys, we just had them cook the turkeys for us, so that really helped out a lot. Mm-hmm. But then we still would have to get a large number of people, like, come in on Tuesday and take it off the bone. And they always joked, they always tried to encourage themselves by saying the turkey fat, you know, their hands would get all greasy, it would make their hands look younger. But it would just take an army to sit there and debone all this turkey meat. And so one day I just asked IGA, I said, you know, how much would it be for you guys to take it off? They said, oh, we'll take it off. With this kind of order, we'll take it all off. I didn't tell the ladies for a long time that we could have been having IGA do it for nothing for a long time because they had worked so many hours for so long. Yeah.
That's probably a smart move on your part.
And while we're talking about that, Pastor, how many turkeys are we talking about?
I think we're at 19 now. I think it's at 19. We went from, I think, 17 last year, and we, because of the record number, I think we went to 19.
19 turkeys at what weight are they? I mean, they typical weight or?
18 to 20-pound turkeys.
That's a big bird.
That's a lot of turkey.
Yeah. And, of course, Al says your target this time, hypothetically, 700. And be my prediction, whether they say it's going to be mild tomorrow or sunny, you could very well do that or maybe a few more.
That is very possible. And I hope everybody does come out, and we would like to have that problem.
It's got to be a tradition. Now, as Pastor said, 15 years or whatever, but it's got to be a tradition. And you'd be surprised how many people talk about coming to the KC Hall on Thursday for Thanksgiving dinner. It's got to be a very popular event.
It is. It's a chance for people to come and get together, and families to that normally wouldn't be able to get together to come on down and have a meal and sit and visit and so forth with family, friends, and anyone in the community.
Yeah, and if you're a person or a husband and wife or whatever who doesn't have family coming, or some instance doesn't have family, when you get there for lunch, you will have a family. The guy sitting next to you becomes your family, and that's a great way to spend the day or the lunch hour.
It is, and some of the people that come, they just stay, like Ralph mentioned, just kind of hang out and have a good conversation. And some of them are very gracious and stay afterwards and help clean up and so forth and so on.
How many volunteers does it take to put this on? Because I know you mentioned the different churches, and we'll talk about the churches involved with this momentarily, but how many volunteers help?
We estimated last year, but we had 50. That was just an estimate.
And those are volunteers working that day. Of course, you have a whole lot of people making the stuff ahead of time who maybe aren't volunteering that day, but the volunteers on site that day.
And then you have volunteers who volunteer to take meals to the shut-ins. Yep. You've got this group of people. So it's a community effort.
It is. And not only on Thursday, but on Wednesday, like today, we'll set up this afternoon, and we have quite a few volunteers that come in this afternoon just to set the hall up.
Oh, that's a tedious task, setting up the tables and the chairs and get the burners ready and all that stuff.
And the wonderful folks at the Continuing Recovery Center come and help take down at the end of the meal. And so that's a big plus when they come.
They are a very big help.
I'm always trying to decide which is better, the setup or the takedown.
Well, the prime place I find is if you signed up, because each church signs up X number of volunteers.
Right.
And I think the favorite one is the one that comes in early in the morning on Thursday, I think about 8 o'clock or 8:30 on Thursday morning, because they're the pie cutters. And they get a cut. You know, we're cutting pie for 600 some people. And
right.
If a pie piece happens to be destroyed, it has to be, you know, taken care of.
Well,
darn it, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
That darn cheesecake, it just didn't, you know.
It didn't quite cut right.
You know, I'll, don't worry, I got this one. How many, okay, tell us a little bit, the churches involved with this. Who are involved?
Let me see here. We have the Free Methodist of Hillsboro. These are the Hillsboro churches. Free Methodist Church, St. Paul's Lutheran, First Baptist Church, Our Savior's Lutheran, the First Christian Church, the Calvary Baptist Church, St. Agnes Catholic Church, the Presbyterian Church, United Methodist Church, St. James Baptist Church, the World Harvest of Prayer Church, and then Wares Grove Lutheran. So Wares Grove, that's where Al is, is a member out at Wares Grove Lutheran. They're a big help, and they also participate.
So you pretty much tackled every church in Hillsboro.
They all have a part to play, and we couldn't do it without everybody
pitching
in.
And that's says something among right there that you're having all the churches, because sometimes, and I'm not putting different churches against one another, but you know, St. Agnes does their own thing, St. Paul's does their own thing, but to have them all come together, to coin the phrase, it's a miracle among itself, because sometimes that's easier said than done.
Well, a lot of our churches are this way, where you could say if you get three Presbyterians together, you got five opinions. And so if you start doing that then among other churches, it can sometimes be tough.
Yeah.
it can. But Then we have the ministerial, Greater Hillsboro Ministerial Fellowship, mm-hmm. and we get together basically once a month. There's a few months we don't, but that's how we get to really get to know each other.
And this is a free dinner, correct?
Free dinner put on by the churches. It is from 11 o'clock to 1, the actual meal from 11 mm-hmm. to 1. And if there is somebody who's listening and you cannot make it to the meal, you have two options. If you just can't make there because you don't have a ride, we have people who are willing to give you a ride. If you cannot make it because you're homebound, we have people who will bring you a meal. The phone number for either of those, if you want to have somebody bring you there or if you want to have somebody bring you a meal, is at the United Methodist Church. They take care of that for us, and their number is 532-3734. 532-3734, and they'll take down, you know, if you want somebody to come and get you, they'll come and do that. Or if you bring a meal to you, they'll come and do that. They'll be happy to do it.
Anyone that, I guess, puts a donation in for this, because I'm assuming there's probably a donation jar?
No, there's not.
There is not. Okay.
There is not. It's a free meal.
That's it. Plain and simple. No. All right.
And to put this in perspective, gentlemen, when you say free meal, if you look in the local papers or Springfield paper or wherever, and you look at the places that are advertising a full turkey dinner on Thanksgiving, you're looking at anywhere from $15 to $20 per person. So you take that and multiply it by 600 or 700 people, and you're talking about a lot of mm-hmm. dollars that is put into this, and it's all free.
And I will tell you, nobody is serving dressing that tastes better than the dressing out there at Knights of Columbus Hall. It's a secret recipe.
I would take that one step farther, Pastor, and say that nobody anywhere, and no pun intended, because there's some great meals out there, but no one will serve a better meal. The food is excellent.
You know, I'm now kind of... You know, we had the girls in here about the sauerbraten dinner. No samples. He's bragging about the dressing. You know, we could have had a sample this morning. Now we've been shut out, Uncle Ralph.
I'll bet you there's umpteen secret recipes out there for dressing.
All right, let's talk about the meal. Obviously, it includes turkey and the dressing. What else is included with the meal?
Mashed potatoes, gravy, green beans,
Cranberry slaw. Yeah, we got some slaw. Cranberry. We got the pies, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Drinks, sweet rolls and butter.
Yeah.
Coffee, tea, mm-hmm. and water. These pies, Tobin, are all homemade.
Homemade. Mm-hmm. You cannot beat homemade pies.
No.
No, you cannot. And like we've mentioned, this is a tradition that's been going on for years in the Hillsboro area, and it's grown leaps and bounds. And I guess the name of the game is, if you want to be a part of it, get there early, because I guess spots and seats in the Knights of Columbus Hall, even though it is a big facility, will fill out pretty quick.
They will. People rotate in and out, but of course you have a fair amount that stay and
visit
and so forth and so on. And yes, it can get full.
How long does it take you to prepare for this meal? I mean, is it pretty much simple that, you know what, this is obviously we know the day, we know the time, we know the place. Is it fairly quick and easy to set this up year after year?
We start in September.
Yeah.
And it takes a little bit of time, but everybody steps in and helps. And everybody knows what they need to do, and Matt sends out the list every year, and everybody just kind of does their own thing.
There's an old saying that I like. The people in the Presbyterian Church hear it all the time, and it's many hands make light work. You know, we'll be doing something, and all mm-hmm. of a sudden we need something done, and just tell people, look, many hands make light work. If we all pitch in, you know, no one church could pull this off. I mean, it's just too, just huge. But you know, everybody doing their part. And, you know, as soon as we start the ball rolling, is everybody's still got their part and they all do it. It just flows through. As long as you have somebody who will be the coordinator, which is what Al's done now for how many years have you done it now?
Actually, this is my second year, but I've worked there and helped in the kitchen and stuff prior to that with Rose and
right,
taking the lead.
And basically, this group of churches, they don't all participate in the service prior to Old Settlers, but a lot of these churches do, and that's another service that the mm-hmm. churches go together and have the community service before Old Settlers. So, you know, those are all great, worthwhile projects, and this project here is just so important to the community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is also the start of the holiday season, because yep. once you get by tomorrow, then bust out the Christmas trees and deck the halls, because the holiday season will be right around the corner.
I saw people putting up Christmas decorations this year on Thursday, November 1st. Mm-hmm. I made a note of that just because I think it's now my earliest I've seen that happen.
Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
It wasn't a good thing for me, because not because I don't enjoy the decorations and everything, but I really do think it's important to celebrate Thanksgiving, to live a thankful life, and to celebrate all. We are so spoiled in this country, you know, even when we're going through an economic hard time, which we right. are, we are so much better off than the vast majority of the world. And to really stop and to be truly thankful and to mm-hmm. not, because thankfulness is we're thanking for what we have. Mm-hmm. Christmas has tended to become, what can I get?
Commercialized.
And versus being thankful. And I think, you know, starting to get in, you know, it didn't strike me really well. But
it struck me, was a couple weeks ago, my dad and I went to Kohl's for something because my brother got married and mm-hmm. he wanted to get a new outfit for the rehearsal dinner. Mm-hmm. And we walked into Kohl's. And this was right around November 1st. Mm-hmm. And Kohl's had all of their Christmas decorations up. And so I put on my Facebook page, what happened to Thanksgiving? I said, my dad went into Kohl's and Macy's and all their Christmas decorations. I said, did I miss a memo on this? And I had response out that I couldn't believe from that. And you're right. I mean, and I think the weather outside decorations, I think that the weather that we had, the 60-degree weather, kind of helped, because you don't want to put Christmas lights up when it's freezing outside. So you take advantage of what you will. But, it's getting earlier and earlier.
Yeah, I think they're getting a little carried away with it. But what do I always say on Saturday morning?
M-O-N-E-Y.
M-O-N-E-Y.
And speaking of the holiday season, Pastor Ferguson, the Presbyterian Church is having their annual holiday concert. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we've done this for a few years. It's where we get local talent, and Hillsboro has a lot of local musical talent. It is really a great thing to work with folks here. It's called a Christmas Homecoming Concert. We've done it now. I think this is the 14th year for this. We have folks come in and do just favorite Christmas songs, and people come in. There's no charge. There's no ticket or fee. We do take an offering, and the money, 100% of the money goes to the orphanage that we take annual working mission trips down to. We go to this orphanage, and 100% of the money goes to whatever project we're working on for the building materials down mm-hmm. there. And so we do take up an offering. There's Christmas goodies for people to enjoy. But it's going to be Saturday, December 1st, which is also Christmas, a Christmas celebration the Chamber of Commerce is putting on Saturday morning, December 1st. So that very same day, that evening at 6:30, we'll have our annual Christmas Homecoming Concert at the Presbyterian Church, again, with talent from all over the place and a variety of talent. We'll have country singers. We'll have more classical music. And this year we're trying something. We're having a group of pastors are going to get together, and we're going to sing a song together. Now, some of our pastors are talented in music, and some of us are like me, are not. But we're hoping the ones.
Oh, wait a minute! I've seen you on TV. You're somewhat. You're talented.
So we're gonna try to sing a song together, and so that's going to be a unique thing.
What pastors are involved with this?
We're twisting arms. But so far, we got Jeff Hemken. Jeff is one of the real talented.
Oh yeah.
He is musically talented. And also C.J. Dias, the music worship leader at the Free Methodist, is another super talented. Mm-hmm. So those two guys are the anchors.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hayes, Pastor Jimmy Hayes, and Randy Sands, and myself are being allowed to hum along with the group. And we're also still working on trying to get one or two others who say, well, you know, I don't know if I'm really quite. And so we're trying to encourage a couple of others. But right now we've got those five on board to sing. So it'll be a sight.
Yeah, the young man, as you mentioned, from Free Methodist Church,
CJ.
And I'm sure you've had the opportunity to hear him sing the Star Spangled Banner. Him and Sandy Lighthizer can really knock that song out, I'll tell you.
Yes,
and
when they can.
When we get to this time of year, I always do my annual check with Santa because, you know, we're getting to our Christmas concert. So I did go on and I checked, and he said to commend Ralph because he said, tell him he did a lot better this year, and he was just this close to being on the nice list, this close this year.
Yeah.
And so he said he really improved.
Well, I got to keep going then.
Yeah, but you're pretty close.
Maybe next year you'll be on the nice list. Let's talk a little bit, because we've got a couple minutes left to spend here. The holiday season, as a minister or a pastor, how easy is that to prepare for? Because you've got Christmas Eve service, you've got the midnight service, you've got Christmas morning service. Is this an enjoyable time for a minister?
The post-Christmas is more enjoyable, but so you're building, and it really is an extraordinarily hectic time until you get to that other side. But you're often working with children's Christmas plays as well, and then special music stuff that's going on. I mean, it's a beautiful time of year. I mean, I love the decorations they put up in the church and the songs of the season and everything. It's a beautiful time of year. But yes, you will find many a pastor taking vacation. Matter of fact, we just had a pastor's prayer meeting this morning, and the different ones of us there were all talking about where we're all going for vacation immediately after Christmas is over. And we all go and we take some time off and rest up. Yeah.
So it's easy to make a sermon during these times?
Well, yeah. Over the years, you know.
Or is there going to be a sermon, where have you been?
Yeah. No. That, you're tempted sometimes.
Yeah.
One year, I think I did a Christmas sermon that wasn't a Christmas sermon. And it was just a regular sermon because, you know, the old story about the guy who leaves the Christmas Eve service and he says, you know, every time I come here, they're always talking about the same thing.
Well, we had.
They only come on Christmas Eve.
The only way, way I'm mentioning where have you been, because I'm a member of the Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, and we went there for one Christmas Eve service, and the sermon wasn't kind of like a traditional thing. Yeah. And the pastor pointed out, and you know this is probably as well as I do, that he will see more people that he hasn't seen in a long time during A, the Christmas season, or B, the Easter season.
Sure.
And that's, you know. And
yeah, the Christmas, Easter, the folks, yeah.
So. But,
yeah, so sometimes I did that one year where I just preached something different. I said, just to let you know, there were some other things that happened besides his birth and his resurrection. There were some other things that took place.
Well, gentlemen, we thank you for coming in this morning and spending a few minutes with us and look forward to seeing both of you tomorrow down at the KC Hall. And give us the starting time again.
11 to 1.
11 to 1.
11 to 1.
Get there early, and if you're on the early committee for helping out, hope you enjoy the destroyed pie. Oh, yes.
Yeah. And everybody will have a good time but the turkey.
Yeah.
That turkey. Yeah. Or as Madden would say, turducken.
Yeah.
We have turducken. Yeah, we've done turducken.
What is turducken? Tell me about the turducken.
Turducken, you have a duck that has been placed inside of a turkey. And they then have spices. The one we get, we actually get a turducken fixed. It's down in St. Louis. There's a particular place that fixes this. And it has a dressing inside that's already been in there to help the seasoning. And then they tell you how long to cook it. But then whenever you're eating it, you have the turkey helping the juices from that, helping the flavor as well as the duck that's inside. And it's really quite delicious.
When I was a youngster, my mom, of course we lived on the farm, my mom raised ducks, and she always had duck for Christmas.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not one of my favorites,
but it's
good.
The Christmas Story movie.
Oh, yeah.
Not rah, 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 rah. Real quick, as we come to a close, because we've got 2 minutes. Al, what are you thankful for this year, buddy?
I'm thankful for everybody that's touched my life, and of course for everything that happens at this time of the year. The Thanksgiving season, Advent season, the Christmas season, and of course then we have New Year's that follows that, and it's all a special time of the year.
Absolutely. Pastor Matt, what are you thankful for this year?
Well, I am thankful for good health. You know, as a pastor, you often end up working with people who are struggling with their health. And And so it helps you then to appreciate your own good health that often we overlook in life. We often overlook many blessings that we enjoy. Just being able to walk down the street and see the beauty outside, a lot of people don't have those. And so when you appreciate your good health, I enjoy that. And family. This is a time where I'm thankful that I have a family. We get to look forward to being together. We enjoy, we laugh together. Some people, for Thanksgiving, it's not an easy time for them because their family has conflict and stuff. And so when you have good family, that's something to be very thankful for, and your good health. And so those are things just to be able to lift up and say that is a great blessing.
All right. And that's going to do it for the Wednesday Talk Show. Al, Pastor Matt, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Uncle Ralph, next week. Mickey Robinson will be
on guard next week.
Be on guard. So until then, happy Thanksgiving Day. We'll see you next week. So long.